This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch. Yes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk. I'm Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. We've got a lot to get into today, including the latest Illini player in the NBA. We'll get right into it now with the front page. With the 38th pick in the 2021 NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls selected Ayo Dosunmu, eighth pick of the second round. I think both you and I were a little bit surprised that he slipped all the way to there, but it's coming for back to Chicago. His family will be right around the corner to watch every home game. Ayo Dosunmu is a Chicago Bull, and that sounds awesome to say.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I think it was a good fit. You and I, like you said, I think we're both surprised that he didn't go earlier. It seemed like there was interest around the board for him. And it didn't show up. I think the Lakers, day before, they said the Lakers weren't going to pass on him at 22. That happens. And then you go down the line, the list of teams that you kind of suspect, the Nuggets at 26, Suns at 30, all of those seemed like good fits. But I think at the end of the day, they wanted to go with younger guys. And on top of that, they wanted to go not guard positions for some of those picks, as well as probably a little bit fear about the left hand. I think that's what it really came down to.
I think the fear. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's kind of a shame that the NBA has kind of gone that way where they rather just try and develop a player instead of getting a guy who very, very easily could come off your bench and give good minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think the biggest fear, like you mentioned, age, but he's 21. It's not like he's 40. He's 21 years old, peak talent of his life. And then the other thing that I think scared some teams away is the jump shot, but he's shown that he can improve on it. I mean, I think he was up over 30% from three last year, and you know, that'll play in the NBA, of course. But I think the biggest thing that happened was once that report came out that Ayo Dosunmu will not get past the Lakers at 22. I think those teams from like 23 to 30 settled on somebody else. And then once the Lakers made that trade where they gave the 22nd pick and more, obviously, to the Wizards for Russell Westbrook, then that's the Wizards pick. They were never going to get Ayo. But now 23 through 30, whatever, they could. But I think they already kind of settled, changed their plan. And then as a result, Ayo, who I think was one of the most talented college players in the draft, slips all the way to the second round. But I think the fit with the Bulls is good. I think the storyline is amazing. And I'm happy that he's going to be just about 30 minutes away if I want to go watch him play. And, you know, me and you said way back, you know, probably a year ago about when Ayo goes to the NBA, we want him to go to the Bulls or somewhere with a cool jersey. Well, we got the Bulls, so yeah. I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I was talking to a fellow Illinois journalist, Josh Peach, the other day, and I was like, would you sacrifice – because he's a big Bulls fan as well. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I'm not the biggest NBA guy. I like to watch the finals, and I still keep up with the Bulls a little bit just because of the people around me. But I was like, would you give up somebody like Zach LaVine to get a late round draft pick? Even though you probably have to get more value, but say in a package, you package somebody, you get a late pick. Would you give away that to get Ayo on their team? And they're like, yeah, you know what? Why not at this point? So, if point guard position's open for the Bulls, I think, you know, Kobe White's been all right, but, not exactly, what people expected from him. So
yeah,
there's a spot at least the point guard position, shooting guard, not so much, but we'll kind of see.
Yeah, the thing with Ayo, I think he kind of is like a hybrid. He's not really a one guard or a two guard. He's like a 1.5 guard because he's not as on ball as most point guards. Like if Trent Frazier or Andre Curbelo were in the game, they brought the ball up, not Io. And he played, you know, the two kind of off ball. And he could do that. And he could also bring the ball up. We've seen him do both, but he doesn't do either one so good that you're like, that's his position. But I think that could help him because he could play the one or the two in the NBA. And we've seen his defense improve so much that he has that versatility on both ends of the floor, which I think, you know, will make Billy Donovan and the Bulls pretty happy, definitely happy that he slipped all the way to them at 38.
Yeah. And if you are Io and you look at the NBA across the board, I feel like it's, we're not like, you know, over-exaggerating this like weird issue with taking older guards. Jared Butler also fell the second round, and he was a first-round talent for sure. So it's weird. You know, I don't think you're mad at all if you're Io, especially going back to your hometown team in the Bulls. So I wish him the luck, best of luck. And like I said, he's got a chance to pretty much compete right away for a roster spot. So we'll see what he could do. I imagine he'll hopefully come off the bench this year and get some minutes.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'm just really happy for him and his family. This is, you know, a dream come true. And I think the coolest thing he said was this was meant to be, you know, I'm a first round talent, but God wanted me to play for my hometown team. It's a dream come true, but there's not 37 players better than me. I've got my list going. I think that's awesome. That's the right attitude to head into the NBA with for sure.
Yeah. And another point too, I want to make, and I know everyone's going to be making it, but AK, he has some really good late round pick or second round picks in the NBA, including at the number 41 pick, the former MVP or the current MVP, Nikola Jokic. So, never know.
Yeah, true. True. I think the Bulls are back. And for a guy that's a huge Cubs fan who are very not back right now, you know, I'm excited.
You know, what's something weird too is there's rumors the Bulls are interested in Lonzo Ball right now. So isn't that weird? Lonzo Ball might be playing with Io next year.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right.
That just sounds weird. Wherever Lonzo Ball goes, it's weird. But yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited. Are you getting a jersey, I assume?
Yeah, I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna do the city one, like the gray with the gold Chicago. I think I want to do that one.
That's a good one. I'm going classic, I think. I was thinking about getting the Chicago script, but I got the Illinois script, so I don't know if I want that. But
not true.
We also gotta wait too, because we don't know what number he's gonna be.
Yeah, they have a number 11 on the team.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is.
But I think they might be able to get him 11 also.
I think he might take 21.
Yeah, I could see that too.
That'd be pretty sweet. I like 21. I don't know. We'll speculate. You should go D-Rose. Just do one.
That'd no.
be sweet.
That'd, no, be, like that'd, that. Be, that'd be ballsy, dude.
Why not?
It'd be like
– the last great – you know, Illinois boy who went to Illinois wore 11, and he wore 11.
Yeah, I know. I think that's too much expectations for him to live up to. Derrick Rose, the guy won an MVP. It's the youngest guy ever.
Yeah, but he's Chicago born. No, you don't like that? I kind of like it.
I don't like it. I think, I mean, there's argument for people to say that the Bulls should retire one. So why? I don't know. I don't like Io taking one.
Yeah, oh, it's Javonte Green. That's who it is.
Yeah, they could switch his number around.
Yeah, definitely. He needs good minutes.
Yeah, so we'll see. I could see 21. I would like 21.
Not 20. I mean, he can't wear 23, so.
Yeah, that one's very much taken.
45. That'd be kind of funny. Oh, no, Denzel Valentine's 45.
I'm trying to think. What number did he wear at Morgan Park? 11, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's always been 11.
Yeah, he's a number 11 for life.
Which is the whole jet life thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got to stay with 11.
Got to get 11. We got to get Javonte Green to switch his number.
Yeah, he could be 21.
He could be 21. There you go.
Yeah. Well, either way, very happy for Io. Really excited for him to make his dream come true. Excited for his family. They've been with him every step of the way. And honestly, it's huge for Illini Nation and the program, showing that they could get people to the NBA and – some news that kind of flew under the radar that Io did get drafted. Georgi Bashanishvili will be joining the Denver Nuggets summer team this year. He'll get his opportunity to play in the NBA too. So super stoked for Georgi to get that chance as well.
Yeah, Georgi's going to get that opportunity. And for a lot of fans, it's nothing guaranteed. It's just basically a summer league spot to see, you know, where you're at with the fellow young competition in the summer league. Hopefully it leads to something and goes from there. So we'll kind of see. But another, I don't know if you caught this, Anthony. I want to share this too. Another former Illini is also signing a summer league contract with the Lakers. Alan Griffin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he's no longer with Syracuse. He just kept his name in the draft and is working out with the Lakers. So it's a little fun.
I always thought he had NBA athleticism. He just never put it all together on the court, in my opinion. But I would not be shocked if he ends up playing, you know, some minutes off the bench for a team in the NBA. I always liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. So another Illini who's going to get a shot. We'll see if it leads to anything, but and we sure hope it does. But I think Georgi definitely has a career in Europe if he wanted it as well.
Yeah, definitely some things to keep our eyes on. We'll shift gears here on Oski Talk into football. We'll keep it going with our position previews as the first game is very close, 28 days away, and training camp starts in just a couple of days. So we're going to take a look at running backs and wide receivers today. Let's start with wide receivers, switch it up a little bit, mostly because that's the position I have pulled up on my depth chart right now. But we'll get going with the wide receivers. Kind of a big wide receiver room, which is, you know, pretty normal for any college team. Isaiah Williams, Kamari Thompson, Brian Hightower, Jafar Armstrong, Desmond Dan Jr., Carlos Sandy, Pat Bryant, Casey Washington, who I don't know if a lot of people caught, transferred and then transferred back over the offseason. Ty Lindenman, De'Levion Campbell, Peyton Vinning, Marquez Beeson, who was a cornerback, now a wide receiver. And I should mention, Isaiah Williams was a quarterback and is now a wide receiver. Keon Battle, Owen Hickey, Miles Scott, and my personal favorite, Donnie Navarro III.
Oh, yeah. You cannot forget Donnie Navarro. I was waiting for you to slip up on that one.
I was going in number order.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense now.
He's up there at 86, so it took a while to get there.
Yeah, he's last. Yeah, it's an interesting wide receiver room. I think when you look at it, you're kind of like, uh-oh, wide receivers. But
I am, yeah.
There's a lot of possibility on this team. I want to start off with Quez Beeson. I really think I was surprised he switched to wide receiver because I thought he was very solid at the D-back position. But apparently he went to coaches and said, I want to switch to wide receiver. So a guy who's got confidence in himself and wants to switch that position, I'm happy with. I'm glad that it wasn't Bielmar or anyone else who said, go get yourself in the wide receiver room, that he wants to do that and put himself fully forward. And I think too, that'll help with his injury. I think it's easier running forward than running backwards. And that's just basic experience. I can't for sure that is true, but
I speak from experience. Running forward is easier than backward. Good work.
Yeah. So I'm glad that he did that. I think he has the most potential in this wide receiver room in terms of a breakout player this year that really surprised us. Maybe at Mike Dudek, 1,000-yard season from Beeson. That's what I'm hoping for. That's a really high ceiling to set for him, I think. We'll see if he gets there because he might not even be starting. I think Brian Hightower is the number one wide receiver transferring from Missouri. I think he's solid. He'll be the number one guy. Other than that, Isaiah Williams is the other interesting player. He's going to play slot wide receiver, but he's got to earn those minutes against Donnie Navarro. That's the one thing that think people are going to forget.
Yeah.
That, especially in this offense this year, I don't think is going to feature a whole lot of slot wide receiver. Again, I could be wrong. We haven't really gotten a good look at Tony Peterson's offense. Whether or not it's a spread or a one back or whatever they're doing, trying to run the ball or throw it a little bit more. I really do think that there's going to be a lot more snaps from center this year compared to last year. I would probably say it's going to be a 50-50 split. Not as much shotgun action, which is good, I think, for a quarterback. We talked about that last week. And especially with our pack running back room, which we'll get into a second. But that slot wide receiver position is going to be a little bit, like, thin in terms of time on the field. So Isaiah's really got to work for it this year. And that's why I think Quez Beeson, of the two guys that switched to wide receiver, is probably going to have the better year.
Just because he'll have more opportunity.
Yeah, he'll be out there a little bit more. Other than that, new addition, Jafar Armstrong. We'll see what he brings from Notre Dame. Kamari Thompson is a guy who I also really like at wide receiver, no transfer. Brought some more depth to this team. It should be interesting. I'm curious to see who's the kick returner to this year. I wouldn't be surprised if it is Jafar Armstrong. Other than that, Donnie Navarro maybe. But we'll
Chase Brown even.
Even, yeah, Quez Beeson too. He now that he's playing wide receiver, he's in that conversation more than he was when he was playing D-back.
How about Isaiah?
Isaiah too. Yeah, we'll see. There's things you could do with Isaiah now offensively. You could be extremely creative. And I think the bummer is with that last offense that we had, it had the opportunity to be creative because it was a spread offense. With Bielma and his past, it's not as creative because the formations you run aren't as creative, but they win games. So I'm not going to complain about that. Right now they're saying the offensive scheme is spread. Again, I'm not going to comment on that because I'm still unsure what it is. We'll kind of see a bit more as training camp goes on and we get a better look at this offense, but yeah. Really excited in those guys in the wide receiver room. I think, like I said, when you look at it, it looks thin in terms of talent, but I think there's going to be a lot of surprise, specifically Quez Beeson. That's who I want to hype up.
Okay, I like it. I'm looking at last year's numbers. Obviously, Josh Amaterbebe has moved on. He is with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, they have a strong presence at tight end, this team does. Luke Ford, Daniel Barker, who am I missing? No, it is. Luke Ford, Daniel Barker.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing somebody. Either way, strong presence at tight end. So a lot of wide receivers didn't catch a ton of balls last year, but Brian Hightower, Casey Washington, and Donnie Navarro were 3, 4, and 5 last year in terms of receiving yards and catches on the season. So I expect those guys to have big years. I really like Donnie Navarro, which might end up sort of burying Isaiah Williams on the depth chart, but they've made it very clear that they're always going to try to find ways to get that guy to touch the ball. So we'll see how they end up doing that. I think at the end of the day, Casey Washington's going to have to step up a little bit. He had some good games last year. Obviously the whole transfer picks a school, transfers out of that school back here. Not the most typical way to end up somewhere, but he must have liked what he saw in Bielema, and Bielema must have liked him. So that reunion was something that sort of surprised me, but I'm looking forward to seeing him on the field. And I think you mentioned it too. The biggest thing in this wide receiver room that could turn it into a great one is the way the two guys with the position change play. If Marquez Beeson can go from cornerback to wide receiver while recovering from injury in one season and be great, and if Isaiah Williams can go from quarterback to wide receiver in one offseason and perform well, those are two huge boosts for this offense that, you know, already we'll have Donnie Navarro and Casey Washington and Jafar Armstrong and Brian Hightower catching passes. If those two, then you start to look at a wide receiver room that is deep. But as you look at it right now, a lot of question marks that concern me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and that's a good point too. You know, the tight end usage, I think, in the past for Bielema is huge. You know, Luke Ford originally committed to Bielema at Arkansas, I believe. I think that's right. And then he switched his commitment to Georgia, and then obviously ended up at Illinois. So look, you have to know that Bielema's guy who's going to want to use Luke Ford, and I think Luke knows that as well. So. You know, that's another thing. And we'll talk about tight ends a little bit later in the week. But and our thing taking away from the slot wide receiver is the fact that tight ends are going to get so much use. So we'll see. And you could run a guy like Luke Ford in the slot. So that's another guy who's going to be, you know, barring for that position there.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll definitely be interesting to keep our eyes on. I think tight end and slot wide receiver are going to be the two positions I watch the closest on this offense. We know Brandon Peters likes to throw to the slot and to those wide receivers. I mean the tight ends, I should say. But my big question for you is, you know, when in doubt the last couple of years, Brandon Peters would just throw it up to Josh Amadebebe. That guy's not on the team. Who's his new guy? Is it a tight end? Is it Daniel Barker? Is it, you know, Brian Hightower? Who's his guy?
Yeah, I think the guy is coming in this season is going to be Brian Hightower. Quez Beeson, I think, also could be that guy. But like I said, question marks around him. But I think that guy is going to be Brian Hightower. I'm excited to see him play. He's a 6-foot guy who could run pretty fast down the field and get up and catch those balls. So that fits the mold of Josh Amadebebe. I think it's Brian Hightower.
Okay. I guess we'll keep an eye on that. I'm excited to see who does it because someone needs to for this offense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll shift gears into running back here. Not as many guys as the wide receiver room, but I think it's a really deep collection of players. Josh McCray, Chase Brown, of course, who had a really strong season a year ago. Jakari Norwood, who has, you know, been on the roster for a couple of years now, really fast. I like what he brings to the wide receiver room. Chase Hayden, Reggie Love, who redshirted last year but did get in a little bit, and he was impressive, I think. And then Nick Fidanzo, Mike Epstein, returning for another season. He'll definitely get some touches, his fair share. And then Matt Boback rounding it out. I like this unit. Chase Brown and Mike Epstein kind of formed that, you know, little lightning and thunder thing a year ago. I think they got more choices potentially for Thunder. I don't know if Epstein is going to carry the same workload. Like you mentioned, he gets hurt quite a bit, and Chase Brown runs seemingly a little bit harder, a little bit stronger. So I think obviously Chase Brown's your one back, and Mike Epstein's probably your goal line guy or short distance guy. And then, you know, a collection of, you know, Jakari Norwood and Reggie Love and some of these other guys can catch some passes and pick up some downs for sure.
Yeah. I think your 1-2 punch this year is Chase Brown and Chase Hayden. The two Chases are going to be the two big guys at running back. Hayden's a guy that Bielema likes a lot, so I think he's going to get the majority of the touches. You know, Brown's a guy who we saw last year is extremely talented at running back position. I don't think Mike Epstein's going to see a whole lot of touches in this offense, but I could be wrong. Reggie Love, I think, definitely will see a little bit more goal line as well as Epstein, but this is a really, really talented group. Even like Nick Fandazio, like he's another guy, and Jakari Norwood is a guy who I would probably put as a candidate as kick returner. So he's got a lot of speed. But those, like, all the way down the line, and I really like this running back room. It is jam packed. You're going to get Chase Hayden for a year, so you definitely have to use him and use him as kind of a teaching tool as well. You know, he's a guy who I wouldn't be surprised to see come on as a graduate assistant after he graduates. So it's packed. You have to love it if you're an Illini fan. A lot of potential future guys as well in this group. So,
yeah, I think so too. I mean, this unit is exciting for sure. And Brett Bielema is the type of coach that likes to establish the run and run the ball. So these guys are going to be huge this year. Probably also taking a nice weight off of Brandon Peters. The better the run game is, that should open up the pass game to be better too. So I'm excited to see these guys. I totally forgot about Chase Hayden. He should play a big role as well. And I liked what I saw from Reggie Love when he got in there last year too. So this unit should be deep, and I'm excited to see what they can bring. And, you know, once they combine that with, you know, tight ends and offensive line, which we'll get into next week, you got an offense that's looking pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. For Patrick Catazone, I'm Anthony Pasquale. We will talk to you guys next week. We'll break down any Illini news and then also the tight end and offensive line positions on the offense. We will do that next week. But for now, thank you guys for listening to Oski Talk, ILL.
I am.
We'll be right back.